Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Hollywood Podcast, covering the latest in film, TV, streaming, and social media. I'm your host, Max Geschwind. Stay tuned for today's episode. Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this week's podcast. I'm joined now in a traditional way, right before the Oscars, fourth year in a row. Anne Thompson is here with me, the editor-at-large of IndieWire, founder of the Thompson on Hollywood blog, and co-host of one of my favorite podcasts, Screen Talk, where she and co-host Ryan Latanzio commentate on the week-by-week developments and news stories in the world of entertainment. Anne, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure. Always look forward.
So it's that time of year. At the time of this recording, we're 1 week out exactly from the Oscars. So we should provide our final or close to final predictions before.
Yeah, I'm not going to do the final until Thursday. There will be a story in IndieWire with the final stuff in there.
Okay, so we still have a few more days to firm up our predictions, but I think that they're pretty close to being in cement right now. We'll discuss at length certain categories, which we still need to mull over. But yeah, let's go ahead and dig in. Okay, let's start with visual effects. The nominees
We're moving backwards.
We're moving backwards, bottom up. Working our way to the top, reverse alphabetical.
Visual effects is an interesting category because it could be that there are two narratives. One narrative is VES winner creator, which has amazing visual. I mean, they all have amazing visual effects. If they wouldn't have made the final five if they didn't. But that narrative is that the director actually pulled off amazing effects for a very low price. But unfortunately, he's sort of trumped by the Godzilla Minus One narrative, where the director pulled off even more amazingly low budget effects, the one from the movie from Japan. And so the question I have is, which narrative prevails with the lion's share of the voters? And I'm going to go with Godzilla Minus One.
I agree. And I think Takashi Yamazaki, who's nominated in this category, is also the film's director, as well as visual effects supervisor. So that could provide some added, gravitas surrounding that you're not just honoring the visual effects artists behind the film, but you're also honoring the film's filmmaker. And he's been doing the rounds, lots of Q&As. And I think that that could come out on top. And as you said, $80 million for the creator on what looked like a $200-300 million film. But Godzilla Minus One, I think, was a fraction of that, what, 10, 20 million, which
if
is even more impressive.
If it weren't for Godzilla Minus One, the other one would have won.
Yeah.
It's fair. Well, it may still win. I agree that it's a face-off, but I'm just going to pick the one that has the better narrative.
Also a proxy win for international feature. I'm sure there's many who would have liked to have seen it in the international feature category, and this could be a way of honoring it, honoring the film in another one in visual effects.
And also I've heard a lot of stories about people who maybe didn't see all the films, right? But they watched the Academy now makes the bake-off videos available on their portal. And so a lot of people have been watching these things. So that could have an impact on the race as well.
Yeah, definitely. Film editing, we have Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. I just came from the Eddies, where we had our drama winner, of course, Oppenheimer, and then our comedy winner was The Holdovers. I suspect, though, we think this is a pretty clear one, and it'll end up being Oppenheimer.
This is one of the wins for Oppenheimer.
Yeah,
I'm predicting pretty much that Oppenheimer is going to win most of the things it won at the BAFTAs. So it won 7 at the BAFTAs. And that's sort of the minimum place to start.
And that's very much in line with the BAFTAs sort of predicting a lot of the Crafts wins that All Quiet on the Western Front won last year, where it was very victorious in several of the below the line categories that the BAFTAs were the first to hint at. Okay, well, let's move on to costume design. We have Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. This seems like a close one between Barbie and Poor Things. What do we think?
I agree. I'm having a tough time with this because there are those who, as you say, believe that what wins at the BAFTAs in the crafts wins at the Oscars. But the thing about Poor Things is that it's perceived as a British movie. And therefore, they leaned into it at the BAFTAs. And so I don't know whether that discounts those wins in some ways. Like, I want Poor Things to win a few of the things that it won there. I want it to win costumes. But my instinct is telling me that Barbie's going to win costumes and that people want Barbie to win a few things. And this is where I'm a little, what is your take on this?
I agree. I think that Barbie has a chance of coming out victorious, but they also, I know that a spread the wealth sentiment can also run through a lot of the Academy members' minds. And if that's the case, we already know Barbie's winning song. We'll get to screenplay in a moment, but they have a strong shot there. This really could be the only category that Poor Things could come out victorious by the end of the night. I don't know if I see it going 0 for 11, which could definitely be the case if it loses costumes. So I think that Poor Things would have the edge in that
Okay,
case
that's an
for,
argument that I
yeah.
could listen to. I think those are the best costumes. I mean, Poor Things are the costumes are astonishing. And but what about production design for Barbie?
Yeah, because they frequently go hand in hand. And I think that costume design and production design are the same two going at each other. So then it's Barbie, Poor Things, Oppenheimer, Napoleon, and Killers of the Flower Moon. It's identical, the nominees. What do we think will come out there? Do we think that it'll mirror the Art Directors Guild
I believe that production
winners?
design will go to Barbie.
Yeah.
I do. I believe
Okay.
that's where it will wind up. So it's a question of whether they give Barbie costumes and production design, or whether they give Poor Things to costumes. And I think that they may split those.
You could
You think
also
they're going to be the
argue,
same? They're all going to be the
I
same?
think whether it's Barbie or Poor Things, it'll be the same. We just see it too many times. Great Gatsby is one example. Catherine Martin obviously winning twice in one night. She's done that a couple times now, but there's more examples than just that of them going to the same film. So whether it's Barbie or Poor Things, I do think it'll end up being the same for both. I think you're onto something though with it being Barbie by the end of the night, because if you just look at who's nominated, the production designer and the costume designer of Barbie, Jacqueline Duran, Sarah Greenwood, so respected,
They're
been
both
around so long,
royalty.
you could argue have wider appeal, name ID amongst not just the individual branch that they're a part of, but amongst the wider Academy than perhaps the Poor Things nominees, who a little bit more probably don't have as much name ID to their names
That's
as
true. That's
Greenwood
true.
and Duran.
But the thing about Poor Things also is that it isn't as widely popular as Barbie, and there are many people in the Academy who don't like it at all. It's one of my favorite movies of the year. I
Yeah.
adore Poor Things, but that's a movie that I just feel instinctively that did better at the BAFTAs than it's going to do at the Oscars.
Interesting. Let's move on to makeup and hair. I don't think it's as challenging as production or costume design. Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, Society of the Snow. We think Maestro would go 0 for 7 at the end of the night, but this is probably the one it'll eke out in the end amidst all the controversy surrounding the film, that this is the one safe category
I
it'll
agree.
win.
This
And
is the one that it will
that'll
get.
be it. And that'll be it.
That'll be the one win. I think it's just not Bradley Cooper's year.
And I think it's a situation where also Kazuhiro, just so respected, so beloved amongst fellow
It'll be his
members of
third
his
Oscar.
branch.
It's an extraordinary achievement.
Yeah. Cinematography, El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. Not much discussion here. Hoyte van
Oppenheimer,
Hoytema.
Hoyte van Hoytema. And
Yeah.
a lot of it has to do with how much he's respected, the beauty, and difficulty of all of what they did there, which is a lot of it in camera as opposed to visual effects, and including the big explosion. I mean, there's so many things that he had to do, including these luminous close-ups with the IMAX cameras. He gets it. There's no comparison with anyone else.
Right. And you could make the argument similar with costume design and production design, where Poor Things sort of has a film out in front of it that's sort of keeping it from, I guess, getting that win. And in any other, if Oppenheimer wasn't here, you would think that Robbie Ryan would take it for Poor Things, but that's just not the case with Oppenheimer in the category. Let's move on to sound. We have The Creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Part One, Oppenheimer, and The Zone of Interest. We would continue the pattern of saying Oppenheimer here, I believe, but there is such a passion around the sound in Zone of Interest. It's so impactful, so moving, and deeply affecting when people walk out of the theater. That's really the one technical aspect that stays with audiences after watching it. Do you think that this could happen? This could be an upset loss for Oppenheimer.
I'm predicting the zone of interest.
Yeah.
I'm predicting it because, again, it's a narrative. It's a narrative that is compelling, and it is the concept of the movie that you would have a movie they shot at the beginning that was visual, and another movie that they created in the editing room and the mixing room that was from all added sound. And I think that guy, Johnny Byrne, is going to win that Oscar.
Yeah, it's just something that you're recurringly haunted by as you're watching the film.
And I
And
think people like that film. The other thing is, because it does have five nominations, and that means that it in all of those categories, it has been seen. You know, that's a thing. You need to measure those things. The other thing with the Zone of Interest is that I think that it's a Holocaust movie. It's a serious movie, and I don't think it will. I think a lot of people want it to win more than just Best International Film.
Yeah, you're really getting a sense that these international films, whether it's Anatomy of a Fall or Zone of Interest, are really picking up steam during the later phase of the campaign, that it wasn't necessarily something that was going on earlier in the season, but it really picked up momentum in the
Well, they
final
chose to
weeks.
open the zone of interest very late.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. I think it's a late bloomer, as it were.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people were frightened of watching it, and they're catching up with it. So there may be some recency bias there, which sometimes is a factor.
Hesitation for sure until the nominations came out and the five nominations made it irresistible, or they needed to watch the
More of a
film during
must-see.
phase two. Yeah. Best original song. This definitely seems like a battle of the two Barbie
What's going to
songs.
happen though? Is it possible that they would knock each other out and something like American Symphony would win?
That's an interesting point. I mean, it's not going to be, although much beloved, and we all love her, but perennial nominee Diane
No,
Warren,
Diane Warren isn't going
I don't
to
think
win.
she's going to take this one. I think Killers getting in for a song for My People with Athena is a surprise nomination, and I think that doesn't have a chance. So, yeah, I think if there is a split in the Barbie vote, it would be the American Symphony song, which didn't get in. For documentary, the documentary
I know.
branch
So
is
there's a sympathy
following this
vote.
pattern, very much not wanting to nominate the documentaries that the mainstream actually watches. And so this could be much like with Godzilla Minus One winning in visual effects, even though it wasn't in foreign. American Symphony could win here in song, even though it wasn't nominated in documentary. Is that what
My
you're
guess,
feeling?
though, is that the Billie Eilish song will be the winner, not the Ken song, the Billie Eilish song.
Right.
Even though I'm really thrilled to be seeing Ryan Gosling performing that song on the
Yeah.
Oscars, it's like my favorite thing. That's the thing I'm looking forward to the most.
I think you're speaking for a lot of people. That's the thing a lot of people are looking forward to the most. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But it definitely seems like more of the precursors and the sentiment amongst the prognosticators are for What Was I Made For to pull this out over I'm Just Ken. It'll be Billie's second Oscar win, which is just amazing to see at
She's
such a young age.
popular. She works the room. I mean, people really like her and her brother, you know? So
Yeah.
it's a thing.
Original score, we have American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. Another one of those just check marks and move
It's
along.
Oppenheimer. Everybody loves the Goranson score. There's nothing to argue with there.
Although the Jerskin Fendrix, that stays with you too when you leave the theater. That score very distinct amongst these nominees. But it's just another example of Oppenheimer elbowing out another technically fascinating film as Poor Things. Let's move on to animated short film, Letter to a Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform, Pachydermi, and War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko. I'm giving this one to War is Over. I just think the name behind it, it's just too powerful to resist choosing this one. And this is the larger Academy. This isn't just the branch voting on the category. So I think that helps the film too. What do you think?
I think so too. It's the most accessible, mainstream, heartwarming, easy to relate to, and everybody loves the song. And Sean Lennon has been a great advocate for it, and he's lovely. I met him at the Academy lunch. He's lovely. So I don't think they're going to resist that. All of those things. I think they're going to vote for that.
Yeah. And
I
not.
liked the pig the best, but that I don't think that's what they're going to vote for.
Yeah. And I loved War is Over as well. And it should be worth noting that Sean isn't technically a nominee, but nonetheless is out there campaigning, doing Q and A's, just being such a champion for his film, as he obviously should be. So that's definitely, I think, been helpful having him out there on the campaign. Live
Well, he
action.
drove it. He actually
Yeah.
made it happen, and he drove the project. He got the his connections landed Peter Jackson and Weta and the animators there, and Thomas Newman, and a lot of people came in and joined the project and turned it into what it is. Yeah, so he didn't direct it. He's one of several producers, but I think he drove the train.
Live action short film, we have The After, Invincible, Night of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, and The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. I think there's so many great discoveries, so many great emerging filmmakers that we'll be talking about from years to come from this lineup. But it does seem like this is going to be the Wes Anderson IOU Oscar that he's never won, and now he'll finally win in the short category this year for Henry Sugar. Is that
And
how
he
you're
deserves
thinking?
it.
Yeah.
It's an amazing short. It's beautifully made. It's extraordinarily innovative and fun. He feels unleashed and free. And he just has a passion for these Roald Dahl stories. And I think that he will win. I've talked to a number of Academy voters, and they all agree that it just sort of towers over the other films, even though there's some good
Absolutely.
ones in there.
Yeah, very, very good ones. And the accessibility of it being on Netflix also towers over the ability to watch any of the other
Well,
shorts
anybody
too,
who's an
which,
Academy member has access to
sure.
the portal, so that's
That's
not
true.
really an issue.
Yeah. Documentary short, we have the ABCs of Book Banning, The Barber of Little Rock, Island in Between, The Last Repair Shop, and Nai Nai and Waipo. What do we
So,
think
in
is going
that
to come out?
case, I would go with the ABCs of Book Burning. And Sheila Nevins, a veteran, used to be HBO, now MTV, she directs this one, and it's just the kind of movie she always championed. It is very upsetting if you watch it, and I think every Academy member will respond, and if this will be the winner.
Yeah, and I believe Sheila Nevins, although she has many, many Emmys, this will be her first Oscar should she win, since I know she's mainly on the TV side of documentary. So in a way, overdue the fact that she'd finally come out winning an Oscar. And I agree, I think just the timeliness of the subject and having Nevins behind it make it sort of unbeatable. Documentary feature, the nominees are Bobby Wine, The People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, and 20 Days in Mariupol. I think similar to ABC's of Book Banning, 20 Days in Mariupol just touches on something that's so timely, that's still in the news 2 years out from the war in Ukraine, and a moment that I think the Academy will want to lean into, having the director Chernoff up there on stage giving this heart-wrenching, what I assume to be very serious speech about the personal impact that he has experience during the war while making the film. Is that the one that you think will come out
Yeah, I do.
on
It's
top?
a lot like Navalny last year.
Yeah.
Also, this has the element of an extraordinary personal danger. What he went through is the movie is just devastating. And if given what's going on in Ukraine still and Gaza, it is a very upsetting movie. So people are going to go there. I don't see how it goes any other way.
International feature, we have Io Capitano, Perfect Days, Society of the Snow, The Teacher's Lounge, and Zone of Interest. I believe the only film here that has more than two nominations is Zone of Interest. The only one nominated in picture is Zone of Interest, though.
We
Although
can assume,
we can
yes.
assume. And lots of
And
people
I
love Perfect Days. They think it's very sweet and charming. And Society of the Snow, obviously on plays very well theatrically. It's obviously on Netflix too. But Zone of Interest, I think, is the one that'll come out on top.
Yep, I agree.
Okay. Animated feature, a little bit of a race than I think we initially anticipated from the outset, which is very exciting. Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Boy and the Heron won the Globe and BAFTA. Spider-Man did win the Annie, which is very predictive, and Critics' Choice and other m most of the precursors. But do you think Boy and the
And a lot of
Heron?
the guilds, a
Yeah.
lot of those, the sound and editing and all that stuff. I usually, there's some rules that sequels don't do well, but in this case, Lord and Miller and their directors delivered a sequel that was better than the original and an enormous success. And it's just the most extraordinary animation. As much as I love the Miyazaki and I know there's a narrative that people want to support the idea of Miyazaki coming back from retirement and winning an Oscar. It would be his second, because Spirited Away also won. I think it's going to go with the more accessible and more entertaining, but also more innovative, because Miyazaki's still doing the same kind of thing he's always done before. I love it. It's beautiful art, but I'm going to go with Across the Spider-Verse.
Right. And there's probably also a question on if he would even go next
I don't
weekend
think
to
he
the
would.
Oscars.
No.
So that may not even be a moment that would happen if it were to win.
Well, I
Although
don't
that's
think people think in those terms when they
right.
vote. I would hope not, but
Right.
it just feels like the momentum is with Across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. And this may be a little getting too ahead of ourselves, but it may well, in fact, go 3-0 with the trilogy of animated Spider-Men, with the third one coming out in the next year or so. Well, let's get into the screenplays. We have adapted screenplay with American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Zone of Interest. This is a very competitive one. We just had Cord Jefferson win at the Scripters, which can be very predictive,
It is.
has it in recent years,
But
but
it wasn't
overall
competing against Barbie.
wasn't competing against Barbie. But then we have the narrative, which is even more widespread around the directing snub of Gerwig, and this is how she and Noah can be rewarded in the writing category. And then there's Oppenheimer, and will this just be yet another one that Oppenheimer picks up on the way to the picture? So seems like it's between those three. What do we think?
Well, the one that's been winning is American Fiction. It's been winning not just the Scripter, but the BAFTA, which was a surprise because it was an American film. And it also won the Critics' Choice. And I just think the momentum is with American Fiction. And the way I'm looking at it is that there are more male voters. And American Fiction is one of those movies that everybody likes it. Everybody likes. I've never spoken to anyone who didn't like American Fiction. Whereas with Barbie, you have passionate defenders and equally passionate detractors. And so I like the narrative that Barbie's going to get rewarded in this category, but it doesn't feel like that's what's going to happen. The trick here, though, is that each time American Fiction won, it wasn't competing with Barbie because Barbie was in the original category. So it isn't as predictive as it would be if it had been going head to head with Barbie. So we don't know. There
This is
is
the first
no
and
way
only
to know.
test of seeing this matchup between American Fiction and Barbie.
What do you think?
I agree with you. I think American Fiction is just so beloved and so respected, you know, to take this novel and to expand on it, because I haven't read the novel,
I
but I
did read
think,
it, and he
okay.
took a lot of liberties, believe me.
Right. And I think that should be commended for, definitely, the fact that it isn't just, you know, this simple copy and paste sort of adaptation, but he added so much to it that you don't see in the original source material. It's just, and it's such a great social commentary, as Barbie is too. But I think, similar to what we've said before, this is the only category that American Fiction could come out on top in. So this is probably the one it'll get, whereas Barbie is very likely in song, strong contender in costume design, production design. So it's already going to get a few wins on the way to the screenplay category. Not necessarily the case for American Fiction. Well, let's talk about original screenplay, which I think is just as competitive between three also. You have Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May December, and Past Lives. It's looking like this is between Anatomy of a Fall, which we spoke about, is breaking late. There seems to be a surge of momentum. Holdovers, which obviously is so beloved, and then Past Lives. This could be the Past Lives win. What do we think
I
will
don't see
pull out
that
here?
happening. I think Past Lives won the Spirits for directing and best feature, and I'm so glad that it did, but I don't think it's going to win this category. I think the one to beat here is Anatomy of a Fall. And even though The Holdovers is hugely popular and David Hemmingson did an amazing job, how do I explain it? It's the five nominations for Anatomy of a Fall and the undeniable popularity of it and the support that it has from all of the international voters. I'm not saying everyone, but it did well with the European Film Awards, the Césars. It obviously won the Palme d'Or back in May. So it has support, and especially from that block. And it won at the BAFTA. So I just feel like Anatomy of a Fall could take this one.
Yeah, and I mean, Justine Triet, she's not winning director. She can't win international feature, of course. So this could be the way to honor not just her, but the film. It very much falls in line to, obviously, Bong Joon-ho winning for Parasite in this category a few years ago, also a Neon film. So Neon knows what they're doing. And then The Father, I think it's very similar in terms of these films that gain momentum late during the second phase of campaigning, more European. And so that could come out over the American and frequent, you know, Alexander Payne films that come out every few years, in terms of the holdovers.
That's the trouble with The Holdovers, even though I think it's an extraordinary screenplay that David Hemmingson brought a great deal of personal emotion to. There's a reason why it is so emotional. A lot of it is based on his own family members and his own experiences. But the trouble with the perception of The Holdovers is that it is a movie we've seen before. I don't agree with that, but that is the perception.
Let's talk about the supporting categories, but we won't need to talk about them for long. Supporting actor, Sterling K. Brown, Robert De Niro, Robert Downey Jr., Ryan Gosling, Mark Ruffalo. No question here, Robert Downey Jr.
He's got it. It's not going to go anywhere else. And it's the oldest Oscar truth in the world. When you go commercial, you go Marvel, you play in the big studio playpen, and then Christopher Nolan gives you a chance to show what you can really do. And that's what Downey delivered that, and he really does hold up the movie, in a big way. So I don't think anyone's going to take that away from him. And it's again, it's a narrative.
Yeah, and with supporting actress after the SAG and especially the BAFTA win, I think it just made it all the more clear that divine Joy Randolph for
She's
the
got it.
holdovers.
Davine's got it. And I looked at the movie again, and when you look at it, she is the movie. She makes the movie. I
The
mean,
clip.
Giamatti and Sessa are great,
Yeah.
but she really is the emotional center of that movie.
And the clip of her in the kitchen has been making the rounds on social media these past couple of weeks. Just such an emotionally subtle, but also devastating, more internal performance that's very respected. Let's talk about actor. I think it got a bit more clear this past week or so. It's been seen as a Killian versus Paul Giamatti face-off, but it's looking, especially with the SAG win, that Killian probably has this.
He has it. He has it. I mean, if Paul had a chance, he had to win SAG. We don't know how close it was. But that's the more mainstream group. So Killian's got it,
And Giamatti, you could argue, was the option that was more palatable to a SAG audience. Has been around a while, worked with a lot of those
Yeah,
folks, well
done TV,
respected.
right?
He sort of needed that, and with Killian winning, I sort of compare it to Michael Keaton and Eddie Redmayne that year. Keaton sort of, I think it was taken for granted, was going to win the SAG on the way to the Oscar, but when Eddie pulled out the win there, it just seemed obvious that he was on his way to the Oscar, much
Well,
like
the
Killian this year.
reason I think Killian gets it is that he is sort of like what I was saying about Davine. He is the movie. He holds the movie up. Without him, the movie is nothing. And
Yeah.
he has to do the most difficult thing, the most internal, most challenging, all of that heavy science, you know. It's not an easy character, and he pulls you in. He makes you care about that guy.
Yeah. Best actress, where I think we're probably having a little bit of a harder time. We have Annette Bening in Naiad, Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall, and Carey Mulligan for Maestro, and Emma Stone for Poor Things. Seems to be between Lily and Emma. Emma won the Globe and the BAFTA and the Critics' Choice, but Lily won the all too predicted SAG that not a lot of people thought she was going to win over Emma Stone. So do we think that that made her pull ahead now?
It's a very interesting question, and this is the one category that I would not predict with confidence. I think it's very close. Because if you really get down to it, who gives the better performance? What Emma Stone does is extraordinary. And as good as Lily Gladstone is, you know, it isn't comparable to what Emma Stone pulled off. But on the other hand, Lily Gladstone represents, and I'm not saying she doesn't give a good performance because she does. She represents an historic moment that the Academy voters may not be able to resist, which would be the first Native American woman to win Best Actress. So that's I don't know which way they're going to go. I mean, Emma has won before. That could be the deciding factor here. It doesn't. In the right year, a Frances McDormand wins again. It isn't something that doesn't happen because you already won. But it in this particular case, it may be the opportunity to reward Lily Gladstone.
It always seems like, though, whenever a nominee is sort of on the doorstep to win, like they're in the top two of the list of nominees, the Academy likes to lean into that history, lean into that diversity, and welcome that moment to happen during that show. You saw, I think there's a lot of parallels between this and
Michelle
last year
Yeoh
with Michelle Yeoh
and
and
Cate
Cate
Blanchett.
Blanchett. And Emma Stone could be this year's Cate
It's
Blanchett.
very similar.
Yeah, even the way Kate won the Critics' Choice and Emma won the Critics' Choice this year, there was a similar tone to their speeches. Like, and I'm sure they want to win, but this wasn't supposed to be me. This is supposed to be the leaning into history year in this category with Michelle last year or with Lily this
It
year.
also gives the it gives the opportunity to reward, as you were saying about Maestro, that was the one thing it could win. This is the one thing that Killers of the Flower Moon could win. And I don't think the Academy wants Marty Scorsese to go home empty-handed again after The Irishman. You know, two movies with 10 nominations and he goes home with nothing. I don't think they want that to happen.
You're making just as strong arguments on either side. You're not ma making it easy for which one to go with. But I think I agree with your later argument. I do think it'll be Lily. I think the SAG was just all too determinative that a mainstream voting group like that went for someone who was an unknown a few years ago versus Emma, who obviously is
She
a
is an
known
experienced working
commodity.
actress. She is,
Yeah.
but not a well-known one.
Right. We're getting to the tail end here with director and picture, but these both seem like near certainties. Director Christopher
Chris Nolan is
Nolan,
long overdue. It's
it's
his
his
time,
time.
and this is the right movie, the right serious movie with the right gravitas and the right box office gross. So it's undeniable.
Right.
And
And
he's
I
won everything. He won the PGA. He's won everything. DGA, SAG, ensemble. I mean, it's just
Exactly.
editing, everything. He's winning.
Very few other years we can point to that have cleaned up to the extent that Oppenheimer has, with all the guilds, all the non-guilds like the Globe and Critics' Choice. It's just everything across the board. Well, I think that makes our final Oppenheimer tally if we go through how many we predicted to be about seven or eight of the 13 nominations. So it'll be quite the night for Oppenheimer that we're prognosticating for them. As we close out, I do want to talk about the ceremony itself. It seems like we know what we're getting out of Jimmy Kimmel. This will now be the fourth go at it for him
I like
hosting
Jimmy
the
Kimmel.
Oscars.
I think people like him. I think he's a mainstream guy, but he knows how to work the room. He knows the players. I think the talk show hosts are good hosts because they've interviewed a lot of these people. They know them, and they can play inside the room with a good deal of understanding and sophistication and know-how and know what they can get away with and know, relate to the people sitting in those chairs with some degree of familiarity.
And the big question coming out of the ceremony will be what the ratings are. Was the year of Barbenheimer, where audiences, so millions of people probably came back to the theaters since the pandemic. And we're going to have Ryan doing I'm Just Ken after weeks of speculation and discussion on whether or not he will. He will. We're going to have Billie Eilish and Phineas doing What Was I Made For? Do we think these performances, combined with the Barbenheimer of it all
No
from this
question. I
last year,
think it's going to
will
be very well
bump it up?
rated. Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely. I have no doubt of it. I'm quite optimistic about it.
Probably not the 40 something million that we saw about a decade ago with Ellen hosting. That seems like a whole different era of TV watching. But we'll see a modest increase from the
Yes, we
previous
will,
year. Yeah.
because I think there's more movies that people can root for.
Thank you, as always, Anne. Your
A
fourth time
pleasure,
on the
Max.
podcast, and it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for
Bye.
having me. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Please take a moment to subscribe to the Hollywood Podcast for free on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Until next time, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Max Geschwind. Thanks for listening.